The field of sports nutrition has expanded over the past few years, and Emily Kaley has evolved right along with it. You may even say it's in her genes. We're diving into the nitty-gritty details of life as a sports dietitian, including nutrition support buckets and Emily's favorite tool for influencing behavior change. Whether you're looking to climb the sports nutrition ladder or just curious about this expanding field, this episode is for you.
You're listening to Dietitians Only, a podcast from Dietitians on Demand, created by dietitians for dietitians. Let's get into it. All right. Welcome to today's episode of Dietitians Only. I am Heidi, the Director of Marketing at Dietitians on Demand, and I'm really excited today to be joined by Emily Kaley, who is a sports dietitian. Emily, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. My name is Emily Kaley. I am a sports dietitian currently with the Washington Nationals Minor League.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we're going to talk today about your career as a dietitian, kind of how where you are now. And then I also want to get into your past, because it looks like you've been a sports dietitian for about 8 years. Is that right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your role with the Washington Nationals right now.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm currently in my second season with the Washington Nationals. I am building them a nutrition program. Last year, I came on in the beginning of the year, so before spring training, and I was asked to build us a performance nutrition department, get us off the ground as far as nutrition goes. So I had built a program with the New York Mets before the Nationals. So I was super, super locked into the idea of building programs for organizations, specifically baseball, who didn't have them. The Washington Nationals were on my radar as they were on the East Coast. And I said, say less, bring me on. Like, let's do this thing. Came on, knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to execute it even better than I had before in that past organization. And I started putting together proposals and putting together budgets and letting them know what best practice performance nutrition was. So I came on as their first full-time performance dietitian in the organization, managing minor league teams. And at this time, we have 4 affiliate teams, 1 team in Florida, and a team in the DR. So we have 6 locations. So yeah, got them off the ground last year. This year, I luckily and thankfully was able to hire 2 dietitians. So we have an affiliate dietitian with our AAA team in Rochester, New York, and another affiliate dietitian with our Fredericksburg, Virginia team, our low A team. So there's now, you could say I tripled the size of our nutrition program. So they're amazing dietitians on the ground with their team every day, which is something that we couldn't do last year with me always being away from a lot of people. So yeah, we currently are in our third week of in season. So we survived spring training. And we are now in full force, every game counts kind of manner. So.
Wow. When you started telling that story, I'm like, okay, so you were the only dietitian, but then over the course of how long have you been with this team and how long did it take you to kind of build what you have now?
Yeah. So our nutrition program is 2 seasons old. There are some organizations for reference of the 30 organizations within baseball that are 10, 15 plus years old and have a dietitian at every location. So I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew it was going to be a slow process. I had done this before. So the first year was really just teaching them what a dietitian does and what areas of baseball I can integrate myself with, what gaps are there within the nutrition world. And the Nationals are incredibly responsive and into what I'm doing. So it's very, it makes my job, let's say, easy to integrate those proposals and fill those gaps because the nationals are really responsive to what I'm doing. So yeah, we are in our second season as a nutrition department. Now we're three dietitians strong. And it's all because the players want it, right? The players are asking for better nutrition services. They're asking for more performance-based food. They're asking for more experts on the ground. So we're in this really great time in baseball where the players have quite a voice. So we are giving them what they need to perform great and develop them into these rock star major league baseball players. So it's a really fun time to be a dietitian in baseball.
Yeah. So you say that they are into it. They must be seeing a positive impact in the seasons. You know, you must be advising them and they're seeing that, oh, this works and I want more of it.
Yeah. When I first came on, because I've been in places like the Cubs back in 2017, where there was a dietitian per affiliate. So I knew how players were with a dietitian on the ground. And I also knew how players were like with the Mets when I first came in, how they were just surviving without. So when I came into the Nationals, I started talking to the players, like, how have things been? What kinds of things have you seen right when I first started my first couple of weeks, right? Because I was doing a SWOT analysis. I was seeing where the gaps were. I was talking to the players who are our tools within the organization. And they overwhelmingly told me, Emily, we had to be so resourceful before these departments came in. So to me, that's them basically begging for help and asking to be caught up with the other organizations because they all talk, right? They know what is going on at the other organizations. They know what kind of pregame meals the other organizations are getting or the kind of expertise the other organizations are getting. So The boys wanted it. And I put down their statements and I put together, I think, good proposals, and it's gotten us to where we are now, where I'm really comfortable with the growth within 2 years. I think sometimes it takes a long time to get help, and I don't think there's any, hopefully no slowing down while I'm with the Nationals.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So Inspiring and exciting to hear about that change.
Yes.
So another question I had for you, you're in baseball now. It sounds like you've been with a couple baseball teams, but you also have experience with other sports teams as well, right? So how does that compare to where you are now and kind of, you know, what was it like to jump between different sports?
Yeah, a lot of gas money and moving boxes. That's what it felt like. No. So when you first start, and times have really changed, even within like the last 8 years since I've been in, been a registered dietitian in sport, we're still a developing profession. So there's still all these like organizations and teams that have never had a dietitian before. So what kind of position does that mean to integrate into that organization? It's usually a part-time seasonal position because they're like, do we actually need this? What are they going to bring to the table? And then it progresses into full-time. So when I first started, there was a ton of just like seasonal positions, short, little stints, little gigs. Now there's way more full-time. So I was happy to take anything just to get my foot in the door. So I went from, seasonal position to seasonal position to seasonal position. I also didn't exactly know which sport I wanted, or I definitely knew I wanted to reach for the stars with professional sport. I wasn't crazy about the idea of collegiate. So I did want to stay within the national ranking, athletes like our Olympic athletes, our professional athletes like baseball and basketball and hockey. So luckily, there was always a seasonal position that I was really interested in. And luckily I had a really great resume and possibly interviewed well, and kept landing seasonal position after seasonal position in places that I didn't see myself like making roots or having a life. I mean, no offense to anybody who lives in these places, but like my family's on the East Coast in New York and in Maine at the time. So I started in Colorado with Team USA. Then I went to South Bend, Indiana with the Cubs. So you could see I kind of was working my way back to the East Coast. And then I made my way to New York with Madison Square Garden and the New York Mets. So kind of just, I knew I didn't want to stay in these locations. I knew that these were great positions to have. I was also always working under a different dietitian, which gave me access to their brain and their guidance, which was huge. And then, you know, now I'm in a position that's going on my second season. Hopefully I'm there for a very long time, but also in the world of sport, anything can happen. New ownership can come in, new managers can come in, and they can bring in their own team. So we're always ready to jump around, I guess you would say.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear you say that you got that experience working under all these different dietitians, because that's what we hear on the consulting side of our business too. We have new grads that come to us and might take a 3-month assignment in California and then a 4 or 5 month assignment in Texas. And that's kind of the same thing. You get to see different size facilities, different type facilities, different dietitians, newer dietitians, very experienced dietitians, and you get to kind of build your own toolbox based on what you learn from all these different dietitians.
I love that. I love the toolbox reference, because I say that all the time. I say, like, I have these tools in my toolbox. Like, you don't necessarily need these tools. You didn't need to jump around all crazy like, but I'm happy that I have these tools to be, you know, the dietitian that I am today. So I love that reference a lot.
You never know when, you know, somewhere down the line, you may draw back on something that you learned 4 or 5 years ago, or when you were in the beginning of your career. So it's always great to have that experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I ask, you said you weren't totally interested in collegiate. What is the difference for you between like working in collegiate or working with professional?
Yeah. And again, no offense to anybody working in collegiate, and there's now like departments full of performance dietitians, you know, who get to really do their own thing. But in my mind, where collegiate was when I first started was having to work with a lot of different teams and different disciplines. So there was dietitians working with soccer, lacrosse, football, you know, and possibly more. I know my brain, and I know I like to focus on like just one discipline, like one team, like one, you know, kind of athlete. Now within baseball, there are different disciplines. Groups of guys, like our catchers are very different from our pitchers. Our pitchers are very different from our, you know, position players. But I just knew I didn't want to go from soccer to lacrosse to, you know, basketball. Now there is collegiate nutrition departments that they're full of full-time dietitians, and there, it's possible that a dietitian is just with football. Well, it's not rare anymore. Like a dietitian is just with football. A dietitian is just with men's and women's basketball. So just at that time, that just didn't tickle my fancy. And I really just wanted my brain to be like baseball, basketball. And I'm glad I went that route too, because I really like the professional realm. So yeah.
That makes sense. I think that is a helpful distinction, because some, like you said, some people's brains might love the different challenge of different seasons and different sports and like mixing that all up. So that's good to know that there are, even within the world of sports nutrition, there's like all kinds of different avenues that you can go down.
Yes. More than you can ever imagine.
So let's talk a little bit about just like your inspiration, like why, going back to the beginning, why did you want to become a dietitian? How did you settle on becoming a sports dietitian?
Yeah, this brings back, I put a smile on my face because my mom's a dietitian, and I grew up obviously knowing exactly what she was doing. So she wasn't a performance dietitian. She, way back when, not saying that she's old, I love you, Mom. but way back when dietitians were really found in the hospitals, our clinical dietitians, she had worked in school after that, and now she had worked in private practice, and now she's more on like the SNAP Ed side of things. So I knew what my mom did. My dad also has some immunosuppressant. He has diabetes and he's had transplants. So I knew the world of preventative care from a very early age. Now, like my mom wasn't in the kitchen with us being like, what vitamin is in a carrot, Emily? And, you know, it was just, she showed us what well-balanced meals were. I saw her coming home late from work because she, you know, is a amazing dietitian and she's still a practicing dietitian today. So I knew when I was applying to undergrad schools that I wanted a good nutrition and dietetics program to allow me to be eligible for a dietetic internship and then to sit for the board. So I knew I wanted that path from a very early age. And then when I was in my dietetic internship, I was trying to figure out what kind of dietitian I wanted to be. Where did I want a position? And my dad said, Emily, why don't you become a dietitian for Team USA? And I was like, Dad, that's crazy. Like, they don't have dietitians in Team USA. And we actually looked them up. And there was, I think at the time, like 5 to 8 dietitians working with Team USA. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a thing. I'd always grew up playing sports, very active childhood, loved teaching my, you know, my teammates how to fuel properly because I wanted us to win games. So I was like, huh. And then I got connected with a Team USA dietitian and she kind of showed me the path, which was incredible. So I think I'm really fortunate in the fact that like my mom was a dietitian. I knew what to do to become a dietitian. And then timing of this Team USA position was like perfect. So
I wanted to ask you about that. Is that with the Olympic Committee or is that different?
Yep, that's with the Olympic Committee out in Colorado Springs. It was a volunteer position on CPSDA, which I'll get to CPSDA. I love CPSDA. It was a position on this platform that holds all the positions for us performance dietitians trying to land a position. And a friend had told me about this position. She was like, hey, Em, they're looking for help in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where I was doing my dietetic internship. And you get to work with, you know, Olympic meddling athletes. And I was like, oh my gosh, stop. So I applied, got connected with a Team USA dietitian. And yeah, really the first pool of athletes that I worked with, no pun intended, was Team USA swimming with like Ryan Lochte and Cullen Jones and all these, you know, meddling athletes. And I was making them smoothies and talking about nutrition. And it just brings back really bad memories of like what I wore to the pool and how green I was. But yeah, I got through it and I was like, this is where I want to be. I want to be with a population who is willing to like squirt tart cherry juice in their eyeballs to swim faster. Like I want to work with people who are begging for help. So then I...
Wait, did they really do that? Put tart cherry juice in the...
No, okay. But
they were just willing to.
I think if we told them, hey, these eye drops of tart cherry... Yeah. So they're willing to do what they need to do to get 0.2 seconds faster to win, right? So like, I was like, wow, they're really asking great questions. And they're really, when, you know, the Team USA dietitian would come, they are asking her such great questions and she has such great answers. And she's so calm, cool, and collected. And I was like, I want to be this. This is where I want to be. And thankfully, there was a position with her, with the Team USA dietitian to work in Colorado Springs while I was getting my master's in sport nutrition at University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. And this was leading into Rio. So I got to help out with some really cool projects leading up to Rio. I didn't go to Rio and I was just blown away by this world of sport nutrition and it just felt so right. So I had a really great introduction to the world of performance dietitians.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, okay. This was a question I had thought of earlier too. You worked with swimmers and then you had all these different teams. Do you have to know like the rules of all these sports, like the nitty gritty of like this position does that in order to properly advise them?
For the most part, I would say that definitely helps. Now, did I know what the different strokes were in swimming or the different body types? No, I didn't. But at the time, I was also assisting that performance dietitian. So she, you know, she would let me know what needs to get done. And I did the best I could for her. Again, PTSD, because I probably didn't do very well with her because I was so green. But I learned a lot, which I'm very thankful for. But as I grew up in the profession, I knew how valuable knowing how these different sports work. Now, even if you know, let's say when I was with the New York Knicks, even if I knew exactly all the different plays in basketball, all the different body types, everything about basketball to the millisecond of how many minutes they actually practice for. If I know everything in the world about basketball, but I don't have rapport with that player, I'm not getting anywhere as far as trying to make behavior change go. So you can know everything about a sport. You can know every top player, who's been where, but it's not going to help when you're trying to make behavior change with an athlete. So, and they don't care that you don't know either. Like the boys still to this day are always teaching me about the game of baseball. And I'm always asking them questions and I'm learning more and more every single year. And they don't care because they know that I'm providing them with performance-based meals or I'm looking at their blood work. Like they don't care. But I have learned now that like knowing what a catcher goes through and how I can support him in the, you know, as a dietitian, I know what a position player goes through. So now we have, and way back when I didn't do this in a program, but now I have buckets of nutrition support material. So I have a bucket for our catchers. I have a bucket for our pitchers, and my brain can switch on and off between those different disciplines. So I would say overall, it's not necessary to know because you need to build rapport with these guys anyways. And you're always talking about the basic nutrition subjects anyways. But then once you know the game, know the buckets, know how to talk to them about their game, they're like, oh, she's talking my language. I might tune in a little bit more. So it is a nice tool in your toolbox to know the sport a bit.
Probably just as passionate as you are about nutrition for their sport, that is how passionate they are about telling you about their sport and their position. So together, both of your passions are really for the sport and for helping the team, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, like just the other day, I went up to our catcher and I was like, I saw you had a really good play on Twitter. This is going to make me sound, but like, I couldn't remember because I was doing a bazillion things, but I wanted to say like amazing play. And he's like, Emily, it was a home run. And I was like, yeah, it was a home run. Like, good job. I can see in his eyes. He's like, just stick to nutrition, Emily. Like, just help me reach my body composition goals. But yeah, it's like, it's fun. And they know that we don't know everything and they know that we're working with a lot of people on the minor league. So it's a really good time. And there's definitely dietitians who know their sport way better than me, but you know, success is success. And we've had some really good success here. So.
Yeah. So this might be like a little like nitty gritty nerdy, but for the dietitians listening, what is an example of how you would fuel a catcher versus a position player? Like in your buckets, what's one of the differences?
Okay, so I've been saying for the past few years, and sorry to all the other disciplines, but if I could be a dietitian just for catchers, I would. I would love to just have a whole entire roster full of catchers that I'm giving nutrition support for because they always need us. Catchers are a part of every play. They also need to like be a brick wall of like a body, but also have a good healthy body and a good body composition. So they're always working on weight and sometimes struggling with wanting to be a brick wall, but wanting to also be fit and healthy and have good blood work. Since they're a part of every play, Hydration is always a key element to their success. This could come in forms of simply just getting down enough fluids. Usually some electrolytes come into play. And their, for me at least, their personalities are just so great to work with because they are the middleman between the position players and the pitchers and the coaches. Like they're a part of all these plays. So their morale in the dugout, they're always getting everybody like hyped up and they want a good environment around. So to work with that kind of personality for me is really fun. They want to be healthy. They want to, you know, they want to be successful. They want to have a good body composition and they're also hitting too. So they also want to, you know, have success there. So I would say I'm really biased to our catchers because they need us so much. And then did you say position player or pitchers or any?
Just any, like, what is the difference? So like catcher sounds like hydration and kind of weight. And so how is that different from like the goals of a pitcher?
Yeah. So pitchers, there's all different kinds of pitchers. We have our starting positions, our relievers. So there is different disciplines even within the pitchers. So for like our starting pitchers, they're only going to play every so often throughout the week. They're only going to have a start, you know, once every 6 days, or it depends on how the pitching coach uses them. So there's a lot of like, well, they're always training and they're always throwing, they're always getting hot and cold. But it's a little bit different from being a part of every single play. So for them, their bodies are also very different. Usually pitchers are a little bit taller, a little bit more like lengthier. So they're, I would say a lot of my pitchers, I have very like intellectual conversations with them about nutrition. They want to see the research. They want to, you know, have these geeky chats about nutrition. They want to make sure that they're doing the right things. Shoulder health is a big one for our pitchers. So are we talking, you know, about collagen, or are we talking about how to recover properly or how to fuel properly for a game? A lot of our pitchers also, well, a lot of baseball players, but pitchers in general, especially our starters, since they're not playing every game, when they do play, their nerves just take over. So, you know, a lot of teaching with our pitchers is fueling properly on their start date, because it's this crazy thing that has taken over that pitchers aren't eating before they start, and their games are at like 7 p.m. right?
Gosh.
Yeah, so we see it all the time. So right now we're starting this bucket for pitchers to help them fuel properly, and we're asking them simply like, you don't have to eat a, you know, a hot beef stroganoff with rice and da 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 meal. Like let's get you in like a nice smoothie with easy digestible fruit, just to have something in your body so you don't crash. And also you have the energy to get through the game. So there's different practices in all of these disciplines. And it's just so fun switching on and off. Who am I talking to? What do they need? How should I talk to them? So yeah, very different disciplines, even just within baseball.
I just find this so fascinating. Like that, like you just, I just think sports dietitian, and I think you're probably making smoothies and giving some snacks, and you have got this like very detailed, all these different nuances that you get to learn and apply to these athletes. So that is really cool.
It took some time. It took some time. There was a time when I was just doing smoothies. So, but you work your way up. And yeah, I feel like I'm in a really great place. Every year gets better and better. And performance dietitian, we're just, I think there's a lot of performance dietitians who have shed some amazing light on the profession, that we're not just food police. We're not just smoothie makers. We are practitioners who are here just like the athletic trainer, just like the strength coach, just like these disciplines that have been in, you know, the world of sport for a long, long time. And we're happy to help. We want to help.
Yeah. You use the term nutrition support, and just coming from Dietitians on Demand, and we're a lot on the clinical side, like I'm picturing nutrition support of like TPN or tube feeding, but nutrition support can apply to all areas of where nutrition is used.
Oh yeah. Like we're definitely not seeing the vast craziness of like, you know, in the clinical realm, but I have a celiac, I have a player with celiac disease. I have a player with type 1 diabetes. I have players with gut issues. I have players with their blood work, their low ferritin and their cholesterol is off, and we have a ton of vitamin D that is off. A1C is getting really scary. And then we also give nutrition support to our staff too. And our staff are a little bit older, usually a lot of men. So, you know, the nutrition support with our staff takes some time too, but it's fun getting our staff and our coaches locked in, because then if they hear anything that the players are talking about on a nutrition standpoint, they'll be like, hey, Emily just helped me with this. Like, you should go see her. So the referrals never stop. Like, I'm always player first. I'll always make sure that our players are good, but getting our coaches locked in is like our secret little, like, it's like my secret little group that is going to help make good referrals. So yeah, we're doing a lot of clinical work still. We're figuring out all the equations for calorie needs and macronutrient needs and having these initial assessments and follow-ups and looking at blood work, talking with the medical coordinator. And that's why I also love the National so much, is because they're allowing me to be this well-balanced dietitian that some dietitians don't get to be. So yeah, I want to be with them for a long, long time. I hope they're listening.
We'll like send this to them low key, like slide it into their
She's
DMs.
Very
this
happy. Episode is
live. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you too. We recently did a career kickoff geared toward dietetic interns and people who are kind of just starting their career. Overwhelmingly, when we asked what field they wanted to go into, so many people said they wanted to be sports dietitians. So what advice do you have for new grads, new dietitians out there looking to get into the sports world?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think everybody's who's possibly listening, who's up and coming, is curious. And I would say there's two main things that a young dietitian can do to have a better chance of getting into the sport nutrition world. One would be join CPSDA. So CPSDA is a great resource. You can look them up online, CPSDA for collegiate, professional, and military dietitians of all sorts. If you're just even seeing active populations, so the weekend warrior, like if that's the population you want to work with, join CPSDA. I know that they have a student membership that is super reasonable to join. This gives you access to their website. Their website holds a ton of handouts, infographics, information on what a sport dietitian does, how to speak to your boss, how to interview. I mean, it really is such a great website with a ton of different materials and information to be successful. And it also gives you access to the listserv. The listserv is an email chain talking about all different topics of nutrition. So like, let's say I just had a player talk to me about deer antler fuzz or deer antler skin. And he was asking if it helps with recovery, right? So I'm like, deer antler, like never heard of that. So I might go on CPSDA and be like, hey, everybody, I just had an athlete talk about deer antler. Do we have anything on that? You know, so it gives you this great access to learn about what the dietitians are talking about and what their players are talking about. And then it also gives you access to the jobs that are coming in. So I'm constantly, it's amazing the progress of our profession, really. So CPSDA, I mean, I just got one for a position in Virginia. So it's constantly on this job listserv also giving you what positions are coming in, from anything from a volunteer position to a full-time position. That's a way that you can really start applying to these positions as well. I can tell you that with the Team USA position, volunteer position, that was on CPSDA. The Chicago Cubs position was on CPSDA. Madison Square Garden was on CPSDA. I have found some of my dietitians that are working with me currently on CPSDA. So be a part of CPSCA, do it. Emily told you to. And then also your network. Network is everything. You might have a great resume. You might have some great experience. But if someone can talk to you, if someone can talk about you in a way that another dietitian gets really excited about, this is going to blow everything out of the water. So I would encourage you to start building your network. And how do you do that? If you have an idea of where you want to be in the nation, let's say you are loving California, look up what performance dietitians are in that area. Make a little list and try to find them on places like LinkedIn, if they have their own website, and introduce yourself and don't ask for anything. I would introduce yourself and say, hey, my name is Emily Cayley. I see what you're doing in blah, blah, blah university. It sounds like you guys have a great program. Good luck in all you do. I hope to connect soon, or something like that. That could spike them to respond or jump on a call, and keep doing that with all dietitians that are in that location. It really helps. It really helps. You never know, like you said, when that tool could be useful, right? You never know when that dietitian, maybe in 5 months down the road, a year, whatever, could say, hey, we actually just had a position open up. It sounds like it'd be the perfect starting position for you. Like, do you want to interview? So the more people that you talk to within your network, the more people that you tell what you're looking for in a very elevator speech kind of way, very short and simple, the better. Now, don't go blowing up everybody in like their DM or asking.
Emily Cayley did not tell you to do that.
I didn't tell you to do that. Yeah, do it in a very respectful way. If they don't respond to you, maybe circle back in a week and say, hey, just circling back around. I know when I get that circling back around, I'm like, oh, they are really interested. Like maybe I'm going to give them some time. So do that circle back around in a week, and then maybe do it one more time, and then move on to your next dietitian. But don't give up, because knowing one good performance dietitian who can give you some good insight could get you that starting position. So join CPSDA. They're not paying me to say that. I promise. I've just had such great success with CPSDA. And start building your network. I would say connecting those two would be, take anything that you can to get your foot in the door. Again, I took volunteer position after seasonal position, and now I'm on my second build of a program. So not saying you can't start with a full-time position, go you, but take whatever comes your way just to get your foot in the door and get that experience and get that on your resume and start to understand what this world is all about.
Yeah, that is great advice. That's a whole right there. Everything anyone needs is right there. Well, before we go, we like to end each episode with just something new we're trying. So like, what's a little known tip or like secret little thing that people might not know about the world of being a sports dietitian?
That's a really great question. A secret. We get a lot of free food because we're the ones that are providing it. And I don't know if it's free because we're getting paid. I don't know about the free thing, but there's a lot of access to food all the time. Players eat all day long. It's not the traditional, and sometimes it is, but it's not the traditional breakfast, lunch, dinner, and some snacks. Like, they're doing breakfast, pregame, postgame, dinner, and snacks all over the place. Some elite pro sports, they're eating on the plane, they're eating on the train, they're eating at the hotel. There's access to all kinds of food. So if you're a hangry dietitian, you're probably not going to be hangry no more. You're going to have access to some really great quality food, and take advantage of it because you did all the work to put it together. So enjoy.
Someone's got to be like able to do the taste testing.
Okay, this is what I was going to say. I called it quality control instead of tasting. And yeah, so yeah, you have to know which hot sauce is what and which barbecue sauce. Believe me. I mean, just last night, the boys were like, Emily, which one's the hot sauce? And which, and I tasted it before. So I knew, I was like, this one's this and this one's this. And they're like, which one is this? And I was like, this one's this, because I did a little bit of quality control before they walked in. So yeah, really, really great cuisines all around, really great fueling opportunities for yourself. Yeah. And now I hope I'm never not in a position where I have great access to food.
You've become used to it now. Oh, well, that's awesome. Well, Emily, I really enjoyed talking with you and just learning so much more about the world of a sports dietitian. This was like such a deep dive. So cool. Is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
I want to say good luck to everybody who is up and coming and who is really trying to get into this world. It's an amazing profession to be in. Don't give up.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
See ya.
As a listener of Dietitians Only, your opinion matters. What do you like about the podcast? Who do you want us to interview next? We invite you to visit our show notes to complete a quick survey. It only takes a few minutes, and your feedback will help us create future episodes that you'll love.
Thanks for listening to Dietitians Only, a podcast produced by Dietitians On Demand. If you need a break today, scroll over to the review section of the podcast and leave us one.